We've been looking at a series for the last 3 weeks. This is our fourth week in the conclusion called Four Big Bible Words. Come on, why don't you say that? Four Big Bible Words. Whether you realize it or not, what I've done to you for the last 3 weeks is I have given you Bible doctrine. Doctrine. We have talked about the doctrine of salvation, if you were here with us on week one. Find out what the Word says about it, not what your mama says or my mama, not what my church said or didn't say, not what the denomination said or didn't say, not what I feel or I don't feel, but we found out what God says. How you can be saved? Can you get unsaved? Can you become more saved? What happens when you leave this earth? We talked about it. The second week, if you were here with us, we talked about the doctrine of righteousness. Righteousness meaning right standing with God. That a person that makes Jesus Christ the Lord of their life can have right standing with God. The ability to stand in the presence of God without the sense of sin, shame, guilt, or inferiority. Amazing. The Bible says you can receive the gift of righteousness. It's a gift. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. You get it free. Come on, somebody. Pretty good deal. God gives that to you when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Last week, we talked about the doctrine of redemption, what it means to be redeemed. If you were here with us, the ingredient, the main ingredient of redemption is through a person, only one person, called Jesus Christ, and specifically buying through Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood is the redeeming factor, what causes a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, that makes Jesus the Lord of their life, causes them to be redeemed and can spend eternity with God forever and ever in heaven. Come on, that's good news, isn't it? Come on, that's good news, isn't it, everybody? Anybody? Come on, that's good news, isn't it, everybody? Wow, that's just good news. So these four big Bible words, and we just, again, if you're here and you weren't with us, this gentleman that's a picture here, he was a rapper, and his name was Biggie Smaller, B-I-G Notorious, and so we thought that would kind of help our young people identify with the message. And what's kind of sad, though, is that Biggie got shot down, shot down dead years ago, 20 years ago up here in L.A., that somebody, a random drive-by shooting. And so we want you to understand the significance of these words, meaning that you can know about salvation, and I don't know if Biggie did or not, and never be saved. You can know about right standing with God and never enjoy righteousness and have a relationship with God. You can know about what the Word says about redemption and the blood or whatever, and Old Testament and New Testament and all, and never experience it, never invite the person into your life, and never be redeemed. And so we want you to make sure that you don't come to church and just think that you get something by osmosis. You don't get born again because you hang around born again people. Your life doesn't change because you hang around changed people. It'll affect it, but you've got to make a decision to make that person who is Jesus the Lord of your life. Come on, everybody. So we welcome that. We encourage you along those lines, and we'll talk about it all during the day, and we'll have an opportunity for you to pray. If you don't know Jesus, or if you're away from Jesus this morning, we're glad you're in the room today. Come on, just give everybody a hand clap that's in the room today. Come on, you made it to church today. Come on, everybody. So four big Bible words. We're on number four. Here's our fourth big Bible word. Maybe you've never heard it, or maybe you were raised in a holiness church. Maybe you were raised in a church of God of some kind. Maybe you were raised in an ultra-tight Pentecostal church that you heard this word constantly. Here's our fourth big Bible word, sanctification. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, get sanctified. Come on, get sanctified. Come on, you got to say, come on, get sanctified. Get sanctified. So here's where we're going to go, and we've been doing this for the last 3 weeks. Last week, actually, we'll talk about and give you four questions. We're going to answer them during the course of the discourse today, the teaching today. Here's our questions. We'll have them on the screen. Here's where we're going to go. What is sanctification? What is it? What is sanctification? Number two, when do I become sanctified? When do I become sanctified? I heard that you only get sanctified when you go to heaven. When do I become sanctified? And we'll talk about what sanctification means. Number three, can I become more sanctified? Can I do something to get more sanctified? Come on, it's like washing your hands. Can my hands get more clean? And number four, I guess we could kind of finish up with, can I become or can I get unsanctified? If I was, can I undo it? It's almost like we talked about when you're saved, can you get unsaved? And when we talked about that, so you need to listen to the teaching online. If you've not been with us, we're strong at teaching the Word of God, and we're strong at what you hear here. You need to apply to your daily life, and so we never really want to give you something, talk about something on a Sunday that you can't make applicable during your everyday week work or everyday work week, and make it fit into your life. And so we're a strong proponent of you writing some things down, taking some notes, taking some pictures of the slides on the screen, so you can be thinking about over and over and over what's being said. Because if you're just here on a Sunday morning, guys, listen to me. On Monday morning, I forget half of what I said on Sunday. Come on, somebody. And I've been studying for weeks for this. So I want to encourage you to get impact and get maximum impact. I told a congregation, not our congregation, another church I was with recently and spoke. And I said, really, on Sunday morning, listen to me. We're not trying to impress you. I'm not trying to impress you by my clothes, by how we preach, or by the singing up here. We're not trying to impress you. What we are trying to do is we are trying to impact you. And so really what I want to happen every time you're in this church, it's like you're in a car wreck. You get impacted by God, impacted by the Word of God, impacted by the Spirit of God, impacted by the love of God, impacted by the purpose of God. Come on, somebody. You just kind of get jarred and go, dear God, I need to straighten up. Come on, somebody. So hopefully today what's going to happen is we're going to talk about some real serious stuff that a lot of churches won't talk about because it's dangerous in our day and age. We're going to talk about how you can live sanctified. Three things we're going to talk about, and we'll give them to you up front, and then we'll talk about them individually. There's three aspects of sanctification. I won't let the cat out of the bag right now, but there's three aspects of sanctification. Come on, note takers, write it down. Write down this thought. It's called positional sanctification. Positional sanctification. So for a few minutes, I'm going to break this down. Then we're going to spend the majority in point number two, and I'll explain that in a moment. And then we're going to spend the least amount of time in point number three, because it just deserves the least amount of time for what we're talking about today. So before we begin, come on, we're going to need God's help this morning. Let's just pray one more time. Would you bow your head? Father God, today right now, we're going to talk about some things from your word, doctrine, as we did with salvation and righteousness, when we talked about redemption and now sanctification. Father, I'm just praying for me. Give me the words to say that I can make it plain and simple. Give everybody listening here in our audience today, and we'll listen on podcast or listen in another way, Father, on CD. Let them have ears to hear what the Spirit of God's saying. Father God, I pray filter everything out that doesn't need to be, we don't need to hear, and filter and pinpoint everything in that we need personally today. We give you thanks for it. Come on, you agree with that in Jesus' name? Come on, amen, amen, amen. Come on, look at this, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 1, 13. It says this, that in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, God from the beginning. I think it's 1:13, Chloe. I think we kind of messed that up. I'm looking at that. That is not my scripture. How many know when you write some things down, sometimes you don't put the correct scripture there? I think it's 2 Thessalonians 1:13. Can we get that back there? Gosh, we're not getting off to a real good start this morning. Gosh, I gave them the team back there the wrong scripture. Can we get it or can't we get it? We are going to get it. She is going to get it. Here we go. There we go. Come on, my daughter's amazing. Come on, give it up for Chloe back in the back there. There you go. Helping her daddy out. There you go. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, God from the beginning, notice, the beginning of time, chose you. He chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. From the beginning of time, God chose every man, every woman for two things. He chose you for salvation. How's the salvation going to happen? Through sanctification by the Spirit. We see two things here that are very important. Number one, we see God's heart. He chose you. And we see God's help. He's going to do something through His Holy Spirit. This has got nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. God chose you. You didn't choose God. God chose you. You said yes to God because God was working on your heart. And He's doing something now in you through sanctification by the Spirit. This tells us that God initiated this. And it says the reason, or the way, I should say, that you connect with the truth, it says, because you believe. The only way you connect with the truth of who God is, with His purpose and plan for your life, is if you believe. There's only two classes of people, everybody, believers and unbelievers. That's all there is. There are believers and unbelievers. That's it. And the way that you get to be, we should say, or could say in just the basic terms, the way you get to be on God's team is if you accept His choosing, because He has chosen you. He's chosen you. What's He chosen you for? Through sanctification, by the Holy Spirit, when you believe the truth. So again, the Holy Spirit sanctifies a person. The Holy Spirit sanctifies a person when they believe the truth. This happens apart from yourself. This doesn't happen that you make the truth. No, when you believe the truth, the Bible says here, you experience sanctification. Now let's talk about what the word sanctify or sanctification means. Sanctify, look on the screen. Here's what it means. To set apart from and set apart to. So sanctification has got a two-prong approach and attack. It means that you're set apart from something, but you're set apart to something else. In other words, God just doesn't set you apart from sin and leave you out here hanging. He sets you apart from that, but He brings you to Himself. Two-prong attack. Both of these words, when we look at the word sanctification, we look at the word sanctify, both of these words you see in the New Testament are connected with the word saint. Saint. We found out when we talked about salvation that when a person makes Jesus the Lord of their life, they are no longer called a sinner. They are now called a saint. And saints are by nature sanctified. And if you're sanctified, if you're set apart to God and set apart from the world, then it is by necessity that I live a sanctified life. It's who I am. It's what's in me. It's my nature on the inside of me. Both of these words, sanctification and saint, sanctify, sanctification and saint, both of these words are related and have everything to do with this other word that's a tough word in our generation called holiness. Holiness. Now, some of you, based on your background, and we'll talk about it today, you had the whole do's and don'ts, and you had the list that people in church said, that's holy, that's not holy. That dress length is holy, that dress length is not holy. That activity is holy, that activity is not holy. And I'm not saying there's not some things that are blurred in all that. But holiness is more of an internal thing than it is an external thing. It'll work itself on the outside. But God, by nature, when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you believe the truth, God does something for you you can't do for yourself. He makes you sanctified. Now, here's the big question. Why? Why does God sanctify me? Why is this sanctification? Why is this a big deal? Here's why it's a big deal. God can't hang around sin. There is no sin in heaven. There is no sin. God will not hang around sin. Listen to me. I'm not saying God doesn't love sinners and God's not reaching to my heart when I've done something wrong. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying by nature, to get God to move into your life, He had to do something you couldn't do by yourself. He had to sanctify you. He had to cleanse you on the inside. So listen, I think that we don't know what's under the hood of our life too much. I'm the worst dude when it comes to cars and stuff. I'm the dude at the car. I'm looking at the rims. I'm looking at the shinola. I'm looking on the outside of the car. All the smart dudes want to lift up the hood. Come on, somebody. You can sucker me with a shine, baby, let me tell you. But if you really want to know about the car, you got to lift up the hood. So it would do us good to kind of look in the hood, look under the engine of our life to say, what am I really got on the inside of here? And one thing you got is, you got sanctified. Come on, you got something on the inside of here that allows you to talk to God without Him just wiping you out and burning you up like a crust. You're sanctified. You can stand in the presence of God without the sense of sin and shame and guilt and inferiority. How? He sanctified you. Come on, man. Come on, you got to get a little sway in there. He sanctified me. Come on, everybody. Let's know about this a little bit. So a couple things. Look on the screen. To sanctify something is to set it apart for a special purpose, special use. We see this over in the Old Testament if you read that. When things were sanctified, they were set apart for a special use. There were instruments. There were all kinds of things that were normal utensils. But when they were sprinkled with blood or they were anointed with oil, they were set apart for a special use. Your normal everyday spoon that you stirred your soup with, if God said that thing's now holy, it could be anointed with oil, it could be sprinkled with blood, and it could be used for a special purpose. Wow. But then also to sanctify a person in the Old Testament, we find it in the New Testament, means to make him or her holy. So the Bible is real clear that God wants me and you, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, he makes you personal, positional sanctification. He does something for you you can't do for yourself. You can't make yourself holy. You can't make yourself righteous. You can't make yourself sanctified. He does it. He does it for you. So notice on the screen, God draws you from the world to draw you close to him. And God brings you from darkness, you've read it, so you can walk in the light. He brings you from something, and he brings you to something. He gets you out of the world, but doesn't leave you hanging. He brings you to himself. Separate unto something, separate for something. That's what sanctify means. And so if God has drawn me and you, what the Bible says, out of the world and out of darkness, then the question would then have to be asked, why are you still acting like the world? Why are you still messing with darkness? When, hang on, preacher man, you're giving me a list. Now, I'm not giving you a list. I'm saying, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you here? What's he saying in here? What's he saying about those movies? Or what's he saying about that TV? What's he saying about that tongue? What's he saying about those thoughts? What's he saying about that internet? What's he saying about that stuff? What's he saying about your lifestyle? What's he saying about those looks? What's he saying about that flirt? What's he saying about that short? What's he saying about that? Why are you trying to live sanctified? Live holy. You're being hard. I'm trying to keep you on God's good list. So there's a free flow from what God wants to get to you. Positional sanctification. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us. Notice, Jesus became this for you and me the minute you made him Lord of your life. He becomes this for you. The wisdom of God, the righteousness of God, the sanctification of God, and the redemption of God. We talked about three of these four things. The fourth thing this morning, sanctification. So right there it is, that Jesus did something for you that you can't do for yourself. Notice again, Jesus becomes this for every believer apart from any action on their own. That's what it says. That's what it tells us. Jesus does something for you you can't do for yourself. He becomes salvation. He becomes wisdom. He becomes sanctification. He becomes righteousness. He becomes redemption for you. When you make him Lord, he becomes that for you. And so now, since it is who you are, you have the power to live it out in daily lifestyle, daily choices, daily yes to that, daily no to that. Daily, yeah, that. If I get involved with that, for me, that's unholy. I got to leave that alone. It might not be unholy for you, but it's unholy for me. That's why there can't be a list for every single thing, except there are a couple of lists we'll talk about called the Bible. Come on, somebody. Because if the Bible gives me a list, then I got to go, I don't care what I say. I don't care what my friends say. I just can't be doing that. Hebrews 10:10, a lot of scripture. Come on, y'all right this morning? Hebrews 10:10. By that will, or by the will of God, we've been sanctified. We've been sanctified, talking to believers, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, once for all. Come on, once for all, once for all. Jesus did this once for all. Jesus is not going to cross again. You don't need to keep getting sanctified and re-sanctified and re-sanctified. No, no, no. When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he does something for you once and for all. How did he sanctify you? By the body of Jesus Christ, by the offering, by the sacrifice, by the cross, by the death, by the burial, and by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, how about this thought? Let's ask this. Okay. I get it. Pastor Gary, I get it. Positionally, I'm sanctified. Now, what happens when I sin? What happens when I sin? I'm positionally sanctified. Jesus does something for me that I can't do for myself, but still, like Paul says in Romans 7, there's still stuff going on inside me that I still mess up. Anybody mess up? Come on, anybody mess up this morning? Come on, I messed up already this morning. I know I did. I called Alex out. That's probably wasn't right. Come on, I messed up this morning. Come on. That's why, listen, there's more to the sanctification than just having Jesus in your heart. There's got to be something else to this then. So you do something. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, let's say it this way. He does something for you can't do for yourself. But now that he's in you, he's asking you to take the next step. The first step is positional sanctification. He does it all. He positions you. Come on, it's like taking a picture at Christmas time and you've got that little 1-year-old, you position that child to stand in a certain place. God positions you. Here's your life. I'm going to do something for you. But then now, the second step is where we've got to take the ball, if you will, and do something ourselves. You can't be saved by yourself. You can't be sanctified by yourself. But we're going to find out, since you are saved, since you are sanctified, since you are righteous, since you are redeemed, you are required now to do something. Second thing, write it down. Personal sanctification. Personal sanctification. What we need to know about personal sanctification is that your sanctification is a process. It's a process. Your sanctification is progressive. It's a process. In other words, you get all sanctified on the inside, but you don't get all sanctified on the outside. You got to do something with it. What's on the inside has got to start showing up on the outside. What's on the inside shows up in where I go, what I talk about, what I think about, what I allow, what I disallow, what I embrace, what I repel. What I do in my personal sanctification. Now, here's what I found out is that since our sanctification is progressive, what's the greatest news is that God's just not done with any of us. Come on, somebody, say amen. And so why in the world would I judge somebody who's 30 years down the road and I've been walking with the Lord for 37 years now, and I had to work out some stuff and I had to change some stuff and I had to get some new attitudes and I had to change some things in my own behavior and still changing, and I had to quit thinking things and quit talking certain ways and quit acting in a holy way. But now I'm not going to give any grace for a brother or sister way down here. Come on, that's why we don't need to be judging nobody. Come on, everybody. Don't be judging nobody. So your sanctification is progressive. It's progressive. So how is it progressive? Again, we just want to break it down. Just so simple. So we leave here and go, okay, I get it now. How is my sanctification progressive? Well, we found out from the very first scripture we read that you get sanctified, you get saved when you believe the truth. When you believe the truth, you believe the Word of God, you believe what the Bible says, you believe in Jesus, you believe in the Lordship of Christ, you believe that He came to save, He came to deliver you, that you can be free from sin, that you can be right with God, that you can be the righteousness of God in Christ. When you believe that and then begin working that out in your daily activity, here's the big word, it's called obedience. Your personal sanctification is attached to your personal obedience. There are areas in all of our life that God is wanting us to obey Him. And so, again, for me, 37 years walking with the Lord, over that hearing, I've been in church my whole life. For 57 years I've been in church, but for 37 years paying attention. And so now when I read the Bible, I look at like the Apostle Paul, and he talks to the church. He wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, started in the book of Romans. And he's writing these letters, what you find in the New Testament, to churches, people like us. And he will say almost in every letter, he'll say stuff like, you need to stop doing this. He says you need to quit allowing your flesh to have dominion over you. You need to stop lust in your life. You need to stop. Hey, some of you guys have been doing certain things. You've been coming to communion and y'all are drunk. Coming to church to communion at the house. Y'all are crazy. Y'all need to stop that. He wrote it to the Corinthians. Read it. So he says, he's not saying you're not saved. He says you have been sanctified, but you need to get this personal sanctification working in you, working it out of you. You don't need to be doing that no more. So I can't be here as a 57-year-old man walking with the Lord for 37 years, still thinking old thoughts, still doing old things, still speaking old ways, still chasing old skirts. Can I be honest with you? I got to work this thing out. I got to work it out. Personal sanctification. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13. Let's read it from the Amplified Bible. Look on the screen. Any man or any woman who served God for any time and sins, and like I'm talking about like messes up bad. Just messes up. Everybody sins, but I'm talking about like mess up. And keeps messing up. Has never got this. They've never got this. If you're struggling here, let me help you here. For the next 4 minutes, pay attention, and you're going to make a switch right now. You'll switch right now. Just pay attention right here. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more, because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation. What's on the inside of you? Work it out. Put that thing in jazzercise. Get that thing on the treadmill. Get it on the elliptical. Come on, get it on the leg extensions. Come on, somebody. Come on, get it on the squats. Get it on the bench press. Curl that bad boy. Work it out. Work it out. Work it out. Cultivate it. Dig it up. Cultivate it. Every year that you're going to plant new seed, that ground's got to be cultivated. Cultivate it. Carry out. Carry out to the goal. Carry it out to the goal. Fully complete it. What? Your own salvation. With reverence, awe, and trembling. What's that all about? Sanctification. Holiness. I got something so special on the inside of me. It's way better than a Bentley, a Rolls Royce, a house in La Jolla, a mansion in Honolulu. I got something on the inside of me called the life of God. The life that causes me to be one with God, that causes me to be an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, that allows me now that I can work this thing out. I can cultivate something. I can be equipped on the inside no matter what my past is, no matter what my upbringing, no matter what's happened in my life. If I'll allow what's inside of me to be personally sanctification inside me and to work out of me, I cannot be defeated. No sin will knock me down. No, come on. No. I was riding the bike yesterday with some boys. We went by two spots, and the brothers, wherever we were, they were smoking weed heavy. Come on, man. Weed was in the air. And you go, old life, old thoughts, old ways. I don't need it. Why? I'm sanctified. He's done something. So you got to work it out with serious caution. Look what he says. Serious caution. Tenderness of conscience. Watchfulness against temptation. Timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. If I go there, Lord, will your name be offended? Will I discredit your name? If I keep talking like that, will this offend you? Or discredit your name? If I engage in that activity, if I try to mismanage the funds and I try to have more money for me? Or what would that do to your name? Would that discredit your name? Sanctification has everything to do in every single area of your and my life. We've got to be watchful against temptation. We got to timidly shrink from whatever might offend God or discredit His name. Now listen to me. You're still going to go to heaven. But the power and the presence of God in your life will wane. And God is wanting you and I to be vessels of honor, the Bible says. So that His word and His power and His spirit can flow through us unashamedly and unequivocally, that we can help people get free. The problem that you encounter and I encounter with most people who you're trying to reach for Jesus, we all hear it. Christians, fill in the blank, maybe you can help me. Christians are, anybody know a word? Hypocrites. They're hypocrites. Y'all want me to come to church, but look at your life. Y'all jacked up. You want me to come to church? You're cheating on your wife. You want me to come to church? Open up your little thing there at work. And you, what are those pictures about, boy? You talk to me about those text messages. What are you talking about? And you want me? Come on, man. Y'all just playing. Why? No personal sanctification. Whew, come on, somebody. It's getting hot in here. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Fan your neighbor. Fan your neighbor down. Come on. Fan your neighbor. They need some stuff. How are we going to do this now? How are we going to do this? Come on. This is doctrine, guys. This is doctrine. Come on. This is doctrine, everybody. Come on. It's doctrine, everybody. Come on. We're trying to save our bacon. Come on. Look what it says, verse 13. How am I going to do this? Look at your neighbor and say, not in your own strength. This isn't strength, power. This isn't you trying to make something happen. It's God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating you power and desire, both to will and to work for His good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. How are you going to do it? Not in your own strength. Why? God's at work in you. Salvation's at work in you. Righteousness is at work in you. Redemption's at work in you. Sanctification's at work in you. So that you can live out what God's put on the inside of you. Not in your own strength. Not trying to say, holiness and holiness. And we're just a holy people. And there's a bad people. And we're good people. And so we don't get around anybody. No. We'll talk about that in just a second. That's exactly opposite of what the Bible says. Exactly opposite. So sanctification is a lifelong process of becoming more and more like Jesus. It's a lifelong process. You're never going to become completely sanctified. We'll talk about that in a minute. I do not believe the teaching that says before you leave this earth, you will become 100% sanctified. I don't believe it. You know why? Because sin's everywhere. And sin is deceptive, and we're susceptible to it. And so let's just kind of set the tone here a little bit and just breathe a little bit. Everybody this morning, everybody including me in the room, and that makes Jesus the Lord of their life, we are all in the hospital together. Some of us just got in the hospital a little bit earlier, and so we're getting healed a little bit quicker because we've been in the hospital a bit longer. But if you've been in the hospital a week, come on, I got 37 years on you. And I'm still needing the great physician. Come on, everybody. That's why we don't judge anybody around here. But so let's keep talking. Let's go a little bit deeper. It's getting ready to get hot. You thought it was hot? It's getting ready to get real hot. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. We're talking about personal sanctification. We know that the Bible talks about positional sanctification. Jesus does something for us. But now we got to cooperate with that. Paul writes to a church at Thessalonica. Notice what he says. Finally, brothers, we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abstain, or that you should abound, excuse me. We exhort you that you should abound more and more, just as you've received from us how you ought to walk and please God. So you're pleasing God? You're walking with God? Okay, I want you to get better at it. I want you to abound more and more. Hey, Gary, you've been at it 37 years. Guess what, buddy? You haven't arrived. You better still get your butt in the Word. You better still get your eyes in the Word. You better still get your ears on the CDs. You better still pray every day. You better still have a relationship with me. You better still walk in love. You better still do what you need to do. You need to abound some more. Hey, buddy, you haven't arrived yet. Yeah, we got the kids shouting in the back now on that. Man alive. Shouting the preacher down on the back, man. Look at verse 2. For you know what commandments. Come on, somebody say commandments. We gave you. This ain't no suggestion. This is a commandment. No suggestion. There's no option. No, well, you know, and what he's about to say. No, no, this is a command. This is you do this. If you don't do this, there's ramifications. For this is the will of God, verse 3. Your sanctification. What's God's will? Your sanctification. Specifically, Paul's writing to a church here that needs to be shouted in our generation. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. Don't get hooked up with nobody. Don't go to bed with nobody. That ain't your husband or your wife. Don't have extramarital affairs. Don't have a little friend. Don't have a one-night stand. Don't have somebody that meets your needs just because my spouse doesn't meet my needs. And God knows. Listen. No, he doesn't. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Abstain, stop, cut it off. Sexual immorality. Sleeping with somebody before marriage. Everybody does it. What, you crazy? Come on. What? Quit listening to that voice. Quit listening to those music tunes you're listening to. Quit going to those places you're going. Saturate yourself in here that he sanctified me, that he's done this for me. Now this personal sanctification, I've got to line up my will with his command, and I got to obey this. That each of you, verse 4, each of you in verse 4, should know how to possess his own vessel. I got to possess this vessel. In sanctification and honor. I dishonor my vessel when I attach it to somebody I'm not supposed to be attached to. In sanctification and honor. Not in passion of lust, verse 5, like the Gentiles who don't know God. Paul is telling us from the mouth of God that people who don't know God are doing things because they don't know God. People that are sanctified that know God don't do stuff that people that don't know God do. They gossip, they cheat, they lie, they steal, they sleep together, they fornicate. There's lesbians and there's homosexuals and there's adulterers and they're all, but I've been sanctified. I've been delivered. God's living in me. He's called me. He's anointed me. He's delivered me. He's changed me. And so now what's inside, I got to just work it out. I got to cultivate it. I got to cry. I got to fast. I got to pray. I got to break my flesh that wants same-sex attraction, wants to lie, wants to gossip, wants to do like what everybody else is doing, want to be known, want to be heard, want to be accepted. God says, you got to live sanctified. Because it's the only way you're going to honor me. You're going to honor me. 1 Peter 1, verse 14. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do. Just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I'm holy. You must be. Must be. So it's a process. Listen, the worst thing you can do today is get under condemnation about what you have done or where you're at right now. I'm just saying, if you're in something and you're involved in something and you're getting pricked in your heart by what the Word of God is saying to you today, then you need to make a switch. And what I can tell you is you need to make a switch quick. Because the longer you entertain it, the longer you think about it, the longer you try to rationalize it, the devil is going to keep spinning something around your life where you can't get out of it. And so I'm going to challenge you. Get out quick, stop it, cut the cord, whatever that is, for you to live a sanctified life so that what's on the inside of you can be working on the outside of you. Is that all right, everybody, this morning? Come on, give everybody a hand this morning that's going to do that. Why don't we do that? Yeah, I believe some people are making some changes right now. Why is this so big? Why is this so big? Listen to what Jesus said here. John chapter 17. John 17, verse 18, 19. Look what Jesus said. As you sent me, Jesus is talking to God. God, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them disciples into the world, is what he's saying. John 17, Jesus is praying to God the Father. He says, you know, as you sent me into the world, I sent them into the world. Verse 19, and for their sakes, for these disciples, for these people yet to be disciples, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Wow. Jesus says, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified by the truth. 2 points here. We've talked about them already, but notice what he says. Point number one, sanctification happens by the truth. Listen, if you are struggling with anything, if I am struggling with any kind of secret sin, if there's something that's dogging me from my past, I don't know where it came from, it's come back up or whatever, if I refuse to get my face in the book called the Bible, I am not going to get free. I can get free for a second, but I won't get free for a month. Because my whole life I'll be going back and forth like this, because temptation will track you down, baby. So it tells us that sanctification happens by the truth. So whatever you're struggling with, you've got to get your face in the Word of God. And that number two, what's amazing to me is that what Jesus said is that sanctification is for others. It's for others. It's a witnessing tool. He says, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. What Jesus is saying is he's saying, if I'm not right, how are they going to be right? If I'm not living holy, how are they going to be living holy? If they see me all up in here and doing whatever like everybody else, how are they going to want what I got? I'm acting just like the world. I'm talking like everybody else. So he says, here's the big picture. I sanctify myself so my children will be sanctified. I keep myself so you won't have to hear on San Diego News about what Pastor Gary did with the little girl over there. Because I gotta work it out. I gotta keep thinking right. I gotta keep praying. I gotta keep fasting. I gotta keep reading the Word. It happens by the truth, so that my life and your life can be a light and a beacon to other people. So write it down. A couple things here. Let's wind down. Sanctification isn't so you can show. Sanctification is so you can go. We're not preaching to people. We're not trying to show people, I do this and you do that. You're looking down at people. It's not a show. It's so I can go. I'm clean. I'm right. Not perfect, but I'm clean. I'm right. God does a work in you so he can do a work through you. God's doing a work in you so he can do a work through you. Sanctification allows you to win while it keeps you from sin. Again, sanctification is inward before it's outward. Most churches want to try to clean up the outside, and they've never helped anybody clean up the inside. God empowers you to live free from the contamination of the world. He does that. He empowers you. But listen, God expects you to live free from the contamination that's in the world. He empowers you to live free from the contamination of the world, but he also expects you to live free from the contamination of the world. We said, number one, that sanctification is positional. God does something for you. We said, number two, sanctification is personal. I told you this was going to be number three. But there's something else that we find out in the Word of God called, what I'm calling this morning, perfect sanctification. Perfect sanctification. Some of you maybe been a church, you've been around, and somebody talked about glorification. Glorification. Perfect sanctification. I don't believe any of us are going to be perfectly sanctified until Jesus comes back. God's final removal of all sin, I believe, is when we are all going to be perfectly sanctified. Thank God for that day. Come on, amen? Come on, thank God for that day. Thank God for that day. Come on, read with me with these eyes what we're talking about here. We've talked about it sometimes when Jesus comes back. But with these eyes this morning, read this in 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Paul says to the church at Corinth, I tell you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep. But we're all going to be changed in a moment. Come on, that's going to be amazing, isn't it? In a moment, we're going to be changed. Look at this, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ are going to be raised, look at this, incorruptible. And we're all going to be changed. For this, notice this, this corruption, corruptible body, is going to put on incorruption. And this mortal body is going to put on immortality. So when this corruption puts on this incorruption, and this mortal puts on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. Come on, somebody. Perfect sanctification. My body will no longer have crazy urgings and desires. My soul, I'll be one with God in heaven, you too. Never before, never again tempted like that. Permanent, final sanctification or holiness. That's coming. Now listen to me. The minute you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, He sanctifies you. You're going to get this last one. You're going to get this last one. Perfect sanctification. But what He wants you to do is He wants you to do number two. Work on your personal sanctification. So what do you need challenging? What's challenging you? What do you need working on? What's sin that just keeps coming up, or you just keep finding yourself, well, you just kind of keep needing to be cleansed. You just need to be cleansed. There's a scripture, and there are scriptures for everything you're going through. So you need to find yourself in the Word of God. And you need to find yourself mainly in the New Testament that tells you who you are in Christ. That you no longer have to act that way, do that, those things, or be that way. That God can be everything for you that He needs to be and wants to be in your life. Just real quick, we'll read one more scripture. In Romans 6:22, it talks about these three areas of sanctification right here in this one verse. It's amazing. Right here in Romans 6:22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become the slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Look at this. Now, having been, not one day going to be. No. He's writing to a church, writing to Christians. You have been set free from sin. You have become a slave of God. You're serving a God. And you have fruit to holiness. Fruit. Outcome of your life. Byproduct of your life. Fruit. And the end of that, everlasting life. Number one, positional sanctification. Positional sanctification. Now, having been set free from sin. I've been set positionally. He did it for me. I said yes to Jesus. He says, good, I'm sanctifying you. I'm setting you apart from the world. I'm setting you apart from darkness. I'm bringing you to me. I'm bringing you in the light. Come on, somebody. First thing I do when I get up in the morning, I turn on the light, baby. Turn the light on. Positional. Second thing, progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification. What's that mean again? You have your fruit to holiness. My lifestyle. My choices. My choices. What I do in secret. I've got fruit to holiness. Fruit to holiness. And then lastly, perfect sanctification. Says in the end of my life, end of your life, everlasting life. completely changed, spirit, soul, body. Completely changed, one with God. Completely, no longer sin. No more bondage. No more dealing with that. This is coming. Perfect sanctification. We're all works in progress. We're all in the hospital a couple days or decades. It's allowing God's word to work in you and work through you, work out of you. Again, what's the point? What's up with the sanctification? Again, the point that Jesus made. Sanctification happens by the truth so that I can demonstrate to a lost and dying world. I mean, listen, some of the people I hang out with and I'm running with a little bit right now, they're like amazed. I've been married 33 years. Like, 33 years? You've been married? Same woman? How? No judgment against anybody that's been divorced. No judgment at all. But just simply saying that people can't believe that you could live separate from all the tanglements in the world. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? So three things in closing that God does for you. It's amazing. God separates the believer, number one, from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, the penalty of sin is removed. So let me ask you, have you done that? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life? If you do that, he separates you from the penalty of sin. You no longer be bound and be hindered and be controlled by sin. Number two, God separates the believer from the power of sin. The power of sin. How do you do that? That's realized when you walk out God's life on a daily basis. When you walk out, God empowers you to say no to that, yes to that. He empowers you. He separates you from the power of sin. And number three, God separates the believer from the presence of sin. What's that mean? When Jesus comes back, it's going to be realized completely. When he comes back, no more sin. The presence of sin, completely gone. You're never going to be completely absent from the presence of sin in the world because you're in the world. Jesus says, I'm not trying to get you out of the world. I'm trying to send you to the world. So the idea that our church is a little holy huddle, all the righteous people are in here, booyah. This should be one of the most unsafe environments you feel yourself in. I hope our church turns that way. What do you mean? People start coming to our church, don't look like you, make you nervous. Don't smell like you, make you nervous. Don't act like you, make you nervous. Why? Everybody needs Jesus. Come on, somebody. Everybody needs Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Have you made him Lord of your life? Have you surrendered your life? Maybe the prayer you need to pray is if you're here and you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, maybe your prayer today is, Lord, I'm asking you to help me in my personal sanctification. I've been involved in some choices and doing some things and thinking some stuff and actively involved in things. I need to stop. How's that going to happen? Not in your own strength, Philippians 2:13 says. It's God all the while effectively at work in you. Energizing and creating you power and desire to will and to work for his good pleasure, satisfaction and delight. The desires of your life just start changing the minute you find yourself drawing closer to God and his word and his love and his example and his purpose for your life, and you'll find things breaking off your life. Come on, bow your head, close your eyes. Would you do that this morning? Father God, I just pray for every person in the room that's away from you, doesn't know you. You brought them here today for a reason, Father God, to find you, to follow your purpose and plan. Lord God, I know a very hard message this morning that maybe a lot of churches will shine away from and won't talk about. But Father God, I believe you've given us ears to hear. We all need to hear it today. You want us to live sanctified. You want us to live holy. You want us to live righteous before you. Not a bunch of rules and regulations, but something that's coming from our heart where our desires change. So Father God, I'm praying for every person today that's struggling with sin, whatever that means, missing the mark in any area, that you empower them for right godly choices, and that their own personal sanctification would be worked out, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, fully complete their own salvation, work it out. Just trust their flesh. Just trust the voices of the enemy, maybe what some friends are saying, Lord God, and they hear you, hear the truth, and listen to wise counsel from the Word of God and godly friends. I pray today. While your head's bowed, your eyes closed, again, we always want to give you an opportunity to make probably the best decision, the most instrumental decision that you can ever make in your life. This is probably the most holy time of the service.